Get Ripple, the bright new drink with that ring-a-ding flavor, Ripple.
And we are going. Ripple Podcast, Halloween month, spooky season. Karen here is returning. She might be a glutton for punishment because not only is she back recording with me, but she wrote a story and is going to tell it today. But I brought a drink. Do you want to try the drink?
Is the Pope Catholic?
It might be.
Do bears shit in the woods?
Okay, so we're in. Oh, I'm reaching over here. Okay. We're in Karen's closet because her house is super echoey, but we decorated it so cool.
It's so fun in here.
We've got like a glowing skull and a pumpkin that's all lit up with black lights everywhere.
And a real pumpkin.
And like these potion bottles. It's so spooky season in here.
Oh, and like blue lights everywhere.
Yeah, it looks rad. I've been in quite a few closets with people, but I don't think you and I have ever been in the closet together.
You were alone with just one other person in a closet.
Circa 1999, maybe?
Right? It's been a while.
Yeah.
Ooh, fancy.
So I'm pouring you this concoction.
Okay. What do we got here?
And the original recipe, because, you know, I can't follow a recipe to save my life.
Nope.
The original recipe was gin, lemon juice.
Smells citrusy.
Yeah, I picked lemons floral. And squeezed them.
It smells good.
You're supposed to have tonic water and grenadine. I don't have grenadine at my house, and I also don't have tonic water at my house.
Okay.
So I did gin and lemon juice.
Oh, that's why I'm going to like it, because I like gin.
I like gin. And it also, somewhere around here, here.
Ooh, this is cool.
Instead of gin, I have bubbly.
Oh, yeah.
And super I don't have fancy. Grenadine, so I did blue curacao. How do you say that word?
Yeah, it's
curacao.
How do you pronounce the word? Yeah, it's C-U-R-O, and then there's like one of the letters are kind of like a weird, it's not an English letter.
I don't know.
Right?
It's like kind of Swedish, but there's also alcohol in that.
Yes. So and it's blue, and it's fancy, and we're having them in gin or martini glasses.
Martini glasses with a gummy worm.
With gummy worms.
In the bottom.
Cheers. Oh, I like it.
Do you?
Yeah.
It's not sweet.
I like it. This is good, girl. And the gummy worm. So Aspen was all upset that she didn't have a gummy worm either. So I told her I'd give her half of mine. Well, she took all of mine, and then it took half of yours. So you and I have a half of a gummy worm.
That's okay, because I stole it from the kids' candy stash anyway. So technically it was hers to begin with.
So now, we're basically doing what people spend probably a ton of money to do, like get a studio and put all those styrofoam walling all over the sides of the walls. Well, we saved ourselves a ton of money by just going into my closet.
I mean, I know I haven't shown you the Ripple Podcast financials or anything, but our studio rental budget isn't real big. Closets work real well for us. Did you do anything fun this week?
I did.
Tell me about it.
I did. So I used to be part of this group called Stroller Strides. It was like a group of moms that used to work out, you know, when Alexander was born, and we would get together. It was like a workout moms group. And we all got together dinner one night, and that was a lot of fun. And then...
Who organized that? Like, who's, like, keeping in contact with the group?
Just one of the moms.
That's pretty impressive, because that was, like, 9 years ago you were in that.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
So for her to, like, round everybody up again, that's pretty cool.
No, they're totally a good group of moms. It was really fun. And, you know, when you first have kids, that's a really big lifestyle change. So it's nice to, like, be part of a group, you know, like us.
Supporting.
We were kind of doing it together. Mm-hmm. But not everyone has that to kind of go through a group of moms that, like, you know how it is.
Momming is hard.
Yeah. What did you do anything fun this week?
I went to a concert. Oh, yeah. I went to Boots and Brews. Mm-hmm. And saw Tim McGraw and some other, like, kind of locally country people.
Fun.
Drank way too much.
Or not even that much.
No, that's true. Right. I drank only four drinks. Four cans of hard kombucha, which is not a lot. Over, like, 4.5 hours. So I was not, like, crazy drinking. I thought I was being good,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But got so trashed and so hungover and felt terrible. It's been a really long time since I've felt that crappy all day long.
Yeah.
But so it was weird. I don't know. I don't know if there was, like, the kombucha was just too much. I have no idea.
Yeah.
But, I mean.
Nice. Well, at least you got out and did something kind of fun.
I did, like, hung a grown-up thing. Yeah. Okay, so I'm ready to hear your story, and I'm going to sit back and drink a drink and just listen. Okay,
I'm super and honored, again, super honored to be part of this and being asked to do this.
You're hilarious.
And this is seriously like doing a book report. You're right.
It is.
It's like doing a book report. I did a rough draft. No, mm-hmm. I did research, then I did a rough draft. Then I did a final draft. At 4:30 in the morning, I woke up and spent, like, probably, like, 3 hours doing the final draft.
Wait till you see your paycheck.
But it was fun.
It is. But it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, and but it was fun.
And you've seen, like just the setup alone, getting the computer and mics and headphones.
Before we even started recording.
That's a lot of work in itself.
We're sitting here trying to figure out the tech issues of how to set this all up.
Yeah. So it's podcasting isn't, I mean, yeah, I guess some people it's like super easy, but
yeah,
for the Ripple podcast, we're like professionals around here. We're in a closet, for God's sake.
Oh, did you mention, didn't you go up in your ranks?
In
Macedonia?
I did. We are now ranking like number six overall. In the comedy section in Macedonia. And the latest episode, the Christopher Scarver episode, ranked number one.
What?
In Macedonia. That episode specifically on the Apple charts.
Probably because the Dahmer thing came out. I didn't realize. So you didn't plan that?
No, I was doing.
So you were doing this and you didn't know that the Dahmer episode which is ranked number one on Netflix?
Right.
Or top 10 on Netflix?
It just happened. Like coincidence. Yeah.
That's why. Well, probably.
Wait, are you saying that my episode wasn't number one worthy? Is that what you're telling me right now?
Well, the timing probably helped.
I mean, it didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt.
All right, tell me about Halloween,
okay,
because it's my favorite.
So we have
holiday.
Halloween coming up. Today is Sunday, October 16th. So we're kind of preparing for Halloween. I went and bought some pumpkins the other day. We're getting the costumes ready.
I spray painted Eden's Halloween costume today.
Yep. We've been talking about getting ready for Halloween. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would be appropriate to follow up from last year's episode number 81. Happy Halloween. Which was last year's Halloween episode. So I thought this would be a good follow-up to that episode.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to follow your guys' traditional template and talk about my sources.
Go. You know, because we don't want to be sued.
So my first source is, most of my sources, by the way, is from YouTube. I learn everything I know from YouTube. If you haven't got on the YouTube bandwagon, I know Angela really likes TikTok. That's how she learns a lot of stuff.
Because it's quick.
Yeah.
It's good for our ADD.
Oh, got it.
YouTube, okay. You have to focus for a little while.
Yeah. It's kind of in-depth. Like, a lot of these videos I watched, like, one was, like, an hour.
Oh, no. If it's more than, like, 8 minutes, I'm out. And even those 8 minutes, I'm, like, fast-forwarding.
Got it. Okay. The first one is History of Halloween documentary by Fire of Learning on YouTube. The second one, The Secret History of Halloween, Samhain, by End Times Production on YouTube.
Oh, that's a terrible End Times Production. That's very dark.
The History of Halloween, Halloween Traditions Explained by Mythology and Fiction Explained on YouTube. Soul Cakes and Trick or Treating by Tasting History with Max Miller on YouTube. By the way, if you're looking for a good YouTuber who goes and does recipes from throughout history, remember when we went through that medieval phase and I was making all those medieval dishes?
Yeah, for those of you that don't know Karen very well, she's like a total foodie, and not only does she like enjoy eating like really good high quality food, she like takes pride and enjoys like spending 72 hours making like one meal.
So if you're looking through like for those foodies out there, Tasting History with Max Miller, he's the bomb. English Halloween Traditions, Visiting an Old Victorian Cemetery, Seoul, by Apron Full of Stones on YouTube. The sixth one, Did Bread Cause the Salem Witch Trials? Or Did This Bread Cause the Salem Witch Trials? Ancient Recipes by History Channel on YouTube.
Oh my gosh, how many sources do you have?
And this is my last one. Oh. Ignis Fatuus.
Ignis Fatuus.
Merriam-Webster.com Dictionary.
Hey, that's it. Yeah, that's
Merriam-Webster. www.merriam-webster.com Dictionary. Accessed 16th October 2022. The only one that is appropriately MLA cited in my notes. Do you appropriately MLA cite your notes?
No.
So this is a shout out to Christy, my coworker. She's an English teacher. She would be super impressed that I actually MLA cited these sources.
No.
Okay, my hope for this episode is to follow up on episode number 81, last year's Halloween episode. And maybe after this episode, you will see Halloween in a different light.
Okay.
As this episode is titled, I'm going to explain some myths, origins, and traditions of Halloween. We're going to talk about a ton of stuff today, from history, who Stingy Jack was, learn a little bit of Latin and a natural science phenomenon, why we've carved pumpkins, food recipes, and some Halloween fun facts.
Okay, that's a lot. Right. I'm ready for it.
Okay, let's do it. I'm going to start with a quote from Chilean writer Isabel Allendeen. If you remember me, I will be with you always. I thought this was very appropriate to start with, since this podcast goes over many stories of people who have passed. And in some sense, I think that honors them. And because this is a special Halloween episode, and traditionally, Halloween was, or is in some countries, a day to remember the dead.
Día de los Muertos.
Yep, as depicted in the movie Coco.
Yes.
Which I love. I watched a million times. Okay, so the first thing that we're going to talk about is kind of the history of where this whole, our modern day version of Halloween started.
Okay.
And it starts with a term called, what Rosa called last, in her last episode, episode number 8, Samhain.
Oh, I said that? In the last Halloween episode? Samhain?
Yeah.
I have no recollection. Okay. None.
I'm going to start with the term called Samhain, as Rosa pronounced in last year's episode. Oh,
did I do the pronunciation wrong?
Nope.
Oh, okay, good. That's a first.
It's actually pronounced Samhain.
Oh, so I did it wrong.
But you know what? I would have pronounced Samhain. It's S-A-M-H-A-I-N. Samhain.
Yeah.
No, it's pronounced Samhain. In Irish, it means summer's end. And lands on October 31st and remains the word for November in Irish. Don't the Irish speak English? I've never heard the term Samhain. If it's in Irish, shouldn't it be in English? Right? It means November in Irish. Samhain.
In Irish? I don't think there is an in Irish.
I thought they spoke English.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just what it said on my sources.
Okay.
Okay. Samhain is a Gaelic festival marking the end.
Oh, Gaelic. They speak Gaelic.
Gaelic.
That's yeah, a that's like Celtic. A, that's a language.
Oh, is Gaelic a language?
Yeah.
Because I keep hearing Celtic and Gaelic, and I'm like, what's the difference? Is that Celtic and... Okay, I'm going to have... I need to have some of this drink.
Okay.
Okay, Samhain is a Gaelic festival marking the end of the harvest season and beginning of winter or darker half of the year. In order to understand where our modern Halloween comes from, we must first take a step back in time. The word Halloween dates back to around the year 1745, and it means Saint's Evening due to the fact that the Catholic Church designated November 1st as All Saints' Day.
I was going to say, so when I went to Catholic school, we didn't, like, celebrate Halloween. But, you know, obviously a lot of people still, like, dressed up for costumes. So, and it was around the same time. And we had All Saints' Day. And we could choose a saint and dress up as that saint.
Yes.
And we did, like, a little parade.
Uh-huh.
And you'd come up to the microphone and say, I'm Saint Rose of Lima. I did this and this and this. Oh. And I was, yeah.
So they talked about that. Like, that the church encouraged, like, yeah. So I'll go into it, but the church has a history of whatever pagan, like, festivals or holidays happened at that time, the church would come in and overlap that day and kind of and say, okay, we're going to, that's fine that you can do that, but we're going to call it this, and you can dress up kind of like what they're saying. So I guess in the during Samhain, they would dress up.
Okay.
And I don't know what they would dress up as.
So that was their first.
Yeah, and so then the Catholic Church came in and said, okay, you guys are now conquered, and we're going to call this day All Saints Day. You can still dress up, but you have to dress up as a saint.
Okay.
From my understanding.
Samhain was their first.
Mm-hmm. In this part of, like, Ireland and Scotland.
Okay.
So All Hallows Eve is actually All Saints Eve.
Okay.
However, the origins of the holiday go back way farther than that. You see, the Catholic Church is well known for placing its own holidays directly over the ancient pagan holidays that people used to practice. I think a lot of holidays are originally pagan, right?
Yeah.
Like Christmas? Isn't that where the tradition of the tree comes from? Isn't that a pagan tradition?
And I heard too, like, because I was always thought, like, that was the day that Jesus was born. You know,
that's
like,
what I'm saying. The church.
And it's not.
The church put, like,
their
dates
spin on it.
Overlapping dates that were pagan.
Right.
To say, okay, we can you can still celebrate. We're going to, but we're going to celebrate
totally
this.
We're going to totally change it and make it different and make yeah. it ours.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Christmas tree. That I think the Christmas tree
is a pagan
tradition.
Right.
I think.
There's a lot.
Like, I think so too.
There's a lot.
And Halloween is no exception. Originally called Samhain, this night was considered sacred by the ancient Celtic people. Is it Celtic or Celtic?
Celtics, I think, is the basketball team. Celtic, I believe, is the people.
Okay, so
Celtic.
Okay.
Like Celtic music, Celtic dancing.
Yeah, got it.
Celtics is the...
basketball team.
Yeah.
Larry Bird.
Was he on the Celtics?
Yeah. He was like probably the most famous, like...
Wasn't Larry Bird a Laker?
No.
Oh, I don't know sports.
Celtics.
I don't even know. I was taking a very lucky guess that Celtics was even basketball.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Hey,
yeah, they were best. They're Boston, I think.
Oh, no, nope.
It said that spirits are able to roam freely as the veil between our world and theirs is at its thinnest point on the night of October 31st.
Yes.
The barriers between this world and what the Celts called the other world, not the basketball players. Or fans. The Celts called the other world became very thin, and people were able to even cross into the other world, or otherworldly beings were able to cross into ours.
And I think that's, like, that whole thing about the veil being really thin on Halloween has been incorporated to a lot of movies and stuff. Like, I think even Hocus Pocus, like, that's one of the reasons they could bring back the witches, because the veil was so thin.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's something that's been incorporated into a lot of, like, Hollywood stuff as well.
So they said the reasoning behind this was because, and you got to think in terms of the geographic location of where Ireland and Scotland and, you know, the British Isles are. They're very north. And this time of year,
okay,
in end of October, it's probably getting really cold. It's not like Southern California where we have the same weather all year long.
Right.
We just have, it's all sunny and just the weather never changes.
Tank tops and t-shirts every day.
All year, yeah. Great tan, 365 days a year. Mm-hmm. No, it's not the case in Ireland where this time of year, it goes from, yeah, like a distinct summer's end to now we're going into winter and shit is dying off.
Like they have seasons.
They have seasons. Exactly. Exactly. So the other world and Celtic mythology can be complicated and interpretations of it may vary. With the barriers between these worlds opened, the dead, fairies, bogeymen, today pronounced boogeymen, and spirits could cross into our world, and it was best, therefore, to stay close to the village and to engage in behaviors which would ward off any foul spirits. And we will talk about a behavior to ward off foul spirits in just a bit.
Okay, so this veil being thin,
mm-hmm.
It's not like dead people. It's like fairies and boogeymen.
So there's a famous book called The Trinity. Yeah, Trinity. And it's by Eurus Leon. And he's a fictional writer. And he writes about the history of Ireland and fairies and spirits and kind of that kind of thing is like a part of their life, like part of their culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't talk about fairies and spirits like necessarily, but it's a part of the way they talk. It's a part of the way their culture. It's how they explain things. It's how they view the world. It's a really good book. So it's a really good book. It's a long book, but it's good. And I wouldn't have known much about that unless I had read this book. So when I was researching this, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember they talk about this in the trilogy a lot.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I always thought it was, you know, like great-great-grandparents that passed that you were trying to communicate with. Like, you know, like kind of like Coco style.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about where the term jack-o'-lantern came from.
Okay. Jack-o'-lantern, when you carve a pumpkin.
And do you know?
No.
Yeah, exactly, when you carve a pumpkin. Yeah,
it's a jack-o'-lantern. I know it's called a jack-o'-lantern. I've always
like this thing that we're looking right there, mm-hmm. right here. We have a little pumpkin that's lit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so that's a word that
so
we've said.
Why the hell do we do that? Right? Has anyone ever thought, what in the hell are we doing?
Why are we taking a pumpkin, cutting its top off, scooping its guts out, Carving a face on it.
And putting a candle and...
No, but like, that's what we do.
What the hell are we doing? And why?
And we're so accepting of it. We're so, like, not even questioning.
And I've never thought about why we do this.
No.
Right? Have you ever thought, oh, I wonder where this tradition came from?
No, but I get real excited about it. Like, I totally want to carve a pumpkin. And every year I want to carve a pumpkin, and it's so hard. It is so much work. It's not as easy as they make it. Yeah.
No. But it's fun.
Oh, 100%.
Kids love it. The whole process is quite enjoyable.
We have pumpkin patches all around
yes.
us.
Oh, yes. Exactly. Exactly. So okay. I'm going to come to that.
Okay.
Of why we have pumpkin patches all around us. So there is one infamous foul spirit known as Stingy Jack.
Okay.
Drunk Jack or are also called Jack of the Lantern.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
No, but I'm...
Shouldn't this be part of our history? It's like, why the hell don't any of us know this?
Why don't we learn this in school?
In school. Shouldn't this be part of our California state standards?
Or any state standards, for that matter. It's a universal thing.
It is part of our life. And why do we not know who Jack of the Lantern is?
Well, there's Jack Skellington from The Nightmare.
That's from a movie.
Yeah, The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Jack-o'-lantern is, like, a term that everyone uses, like, for their pumpkin.
Yeah, right.
Stingy Jack is a character in pre-modern Irish folklore. He was a vile, lying, cheating, manipulative scoundrel who played tricks on people, stole from them, and was otherwise a burden to society. One night, Jack was drunk, wandering through the countryside when he came upon a figure in the road. This figure turned out to be none other than Satan himself.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Satan had heard tales of Jack's depravity and simply had to come see Jack for himself. He told Jack he was there to take his soul and bring him to hell. Jack grew quite depressed and begged Satan for him to satisfy just one last request. So Jack was super smart.
Okay, so Jack's like, dude, Satan, like, I'll go to hell with you, but just let me do this one last thing.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to ask you, where, what would you do if what was your last request?
Well, Satan's such a, you know, like, cool dude that he's like, oh, sure, cool. All right, sure, fine. What do you all need, right, buddy?
He asked Satan if he could have another drink before going to the eternal fires of hell.
Okay.
Satan agreed, and off they went to a nearby pub. So I want to ask you.
Just me and Satan hanging out at the pub.
One last chance. If you could have one last drink, what would it be?
One last drink at the pub.
Or where would you go to have one last drink? Oh. But let me guess. Let me guess what you're going to say.
Okay.
Because I was writing this morning at 5:30
in the
morning.
And you're like, this is what Rose is going to say.
And it was like, oh, this is what Rose is going to say. I would say Disneyland.
Oh, I do love Disneyland.
Or technically, it would be California Adventure because...
That one's my favorite.
Because they don't serve alcohol at Disneyland, right?
True.
So, technically...
Unless you're in Florida. They do in Florida.
So, technically, you would have to have your drink at California Adventure. Mm-hmm. Am I right or am I wrong?
I would do that. Or at the beach.
Or the beach, okay. Mm-hmm. What would be... If you could have any last drink, what would it be? And I'll tell you what Jack had.
I would not hard kombucha because after this weekend, I don't know.
After Friday, which we'll get to in just a minute, we'll go over that.
The first thing that comes to mind, which is kind of surprising to me, but the first thing that comes to mind is either like amaretto on the rocks.
Oh.
Something kind of sweet-ish.
Yeah.
Or like a good whiskey that I'm gonna like take a while to drink, like it's, you know, not gonna like pound it real fast.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, you like sweet stuff.
I
and
do.
We're gonna get to that too because I wrote it in here. Okay, so originally I was thinking Coors Light. That would be my original, like,
for me. Oh, for you.
If I was gonna answer, yes. What would be my last drink?
Yes, for you, I could.
I would say my last drink would probably be Coors Light, but then I was thinking, you know, this is going to be my last drink. I want a good buzz going out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm going to need something a little stronger. So then I thought Dirty Martini.
Oh, yes. Extra dirty.
Extra dirty.
Couple extra olives in there.
Couple extra olives. Throw them in there.
I would cheers with that with you.
So back to Jack. After drinking several ales, so he had an ale.
Okay. I mean, you're in a pub ale. Irish, you know, Ireland.
This is the 1700s.
Yeah, you don't have
Speaking
a whole...
Speaking of ales... Can I get another refill on this, like, bomb drink?
Yeah.
After drinking several ales, he asked Satan to pay by turning into a silver coin.
Okay, so, like, he wants to be turned into a coin, or he wants Satan to turn himself into a coin?
He wants Satan to turn himself into a coin.
That's weird, okay.
To pay for it. I know, I had to, like, reread this and rewatch it, like, so many times. I'm like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah.
So after drinking several ales, Jack asked Satan to pay by turning himself into a silver coin.
Okay.
A strange request, but fair enough. Not that I expected any more from you, said Satan. And he did so, however. When Jack did so, Jack stuck the coin in his pocket next to a crucifix, which prevented Satan from returning to his original form. Jack then demanded of Satan to let him live for another year. Satan agreed, and they departed ways.
Satan is very, like, accommodating to Jack's requests at this point.
Right?
Yeah.
He is very accommodating. Like, does Jack have an IEP or something?
Yeah, what's going on here?
For those of you who are in education.
Yeah, it's like,
okay. Does he have a 504?
Yeah, we're going to do whatever you say, dude.
So Jack apparently has an IEP.
Mm-hmm. Hey, we're not making fun. My daughter has an IEP.
Yeah. Well, they're to accommodate.
Yes.
They're designed to accommodate, you know, in educational settings. Jack then demanded of Satan to let him live for another year. Satan agreed, and they parted ways. Time passed, and exactly 1 year later, Jack came upon Satan on the road again. Jack asked Satan once again for a final request, a much simpler request this time. Jack simply wanted an apple. That's it. Just a fruit. Before eternal damnation.
Okay, Jack.
Just an apple. Satan agreed. It's part of his 504, I guess.
Right?
But evidently, he had not learned his lesson from Jack's trickery. Satan went to the nearest apple tree to pick an apple. As he did so, Jack placed crucifixes around the tree, preventing Satan from leaving it. Isn't that ironic that Satan found himself in trouble after picking fruit from a tree?
That's kind of biblical in right? itself, an apple tree.
Well, and that kind of makes sense because the Irish
are very Catholic.
Are very Catholic. Mm-hmm. And that is a very foundational story in the Bible.
But if you look at like some biblical history or something like that, it's apparently not really an apple tree. That
I've heard that.
I don't remember.
That could have been a pomegranate.
Yes. Which goes into Greek mythology. Because that's what Hades's wife, Persephone or whatever her name is, she ate like 3 pomegranate seeds, and that's why there's winter.
Huh.
Something like that.
Huh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
My religious history doctorate needs to probably be updated.
So you grew up Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was writing this, I was thinking, oh, Rosa probably knows a little bit more about this. I mean, not that I don't know about it, but you're raised Catholic, so you might know about All Saints Day. Like, I don't know what All Saints Day is. Like, I was not raised Catholic.
I know some stuff.
Yeah. So Satan agreed, but evidently he had not learned his lesson from Jack's trickery. Satan went to the nearest apple, and then he got stuck.
Ironically, Jack's got like a bunch of crucifixes in his back pocket.
He has a bunch of crucifixes in his pocket. So Satan stuck at this tree. Satan was furious and demanded his release. But once again, Jack forced him to accept his demands. I'll let you go, said Jack. But you must swear to me never to take me to hell. Once again, Satan was forced to agree. And once more, they parted ways. Eventually, Jack's lifestyle took a toll on him, and he did die. Maybe too much drinking. Too much ale, I guess.
Probably.
His soul prepared to enter heaven, but as he approached the gates, God turned him away.
So where'd he go?
There was no way Jack was going to enter heaven after having lived such a sinful lifestyle.
Yeah, he's drinking at the pub with Satan.
I don't know. Jack then went to the gates of hell and begged Satan to allow him to come in to hell, as he supposed it was better than wandering the world alone for eternity. But Satan had made him a deal. Jack was never to come to hell. Instead, Satan scooped up, and this is important.
Okay,
so now we're going into, like, Halloween.
Okay.
What we see is Halloween. So this is important. Instead, Satan scooped up an ember. An ember is like a piece of fiery coal or something that's on fire, you know.
A charcoal briquette.
Something that's fire. And it's bright. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Scooped up an ember from the fires of hell and gave it to Jack to be placed in a turnip. That's right, a turnip.
Okay.
Some of which we have tonight. And I want you to explain to our listeners what a turnip is. To be used as a lantern for him to see as he wandered the earth at night for eternity as this ghostly figure.
Okay.
Can you see where I'm going with this?
100%.
Okay. According to legend, Jack could be seen wandering the roads and countryside of Ireland in the darkness with his turnip lantern. Yep, turnip. That's what I said. And with this, he earned his name, Jack of the Lantern. Okay. Or
Jack-o-lantern. I get it.
Why didn't we learn this in school? The hell? Wouldn't this be useful?
Well,
wouldn't have this been useful for anyone who was like, oh yeah, that's why jack-o'-lantern. Where did no one ask this of their teachers? I didn't.
Mm-mm. That makes total sense though.
And isn't it funny now? Jack-o'-lantern, that's like an Irish way of talking. The way you write it, it's Jack with a dash O dash lantern. Jack-o'-lantern. Like that's
well, they're all like O'Reilly or O
right
Barney or O
exactly.
What's the place in Ventura called? Oh, Brendan's. No, never mind. But yeah, <That's Irish though. laughs>
yes. Now I want to talk a little bit about science.
Okay, I like science.
Yeah, I do too. This is like an interdisciplinary lesson plan that we're going
module.
Over. So we're going over a little bit history. There's no math involved.
Thank God.
But history, science.
No geography either, I hope.
English. We talked about MLA sighting.
Okay.
There is a term called ignis fatuus.
How do you say that word?
Ignis.
Ignis?
Fatuus.
Fatuus. Facts of...
Yeah, what do you think ignis fatuus means?
Because ignis...
It's a Latin term.
I thought that was like either a time frame, like the igneous period, or a kind of a rock.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are my guesses.
Yeah.
What's it mean? Okay.
Well, I'll tell you.
Okay.
The idea of Stingy Jack wandering the countryside may have been encouraged by a naturally occurring fire, scientifically in Latin known as the ignis fatuus. I did look up how to pronounce it, and that's how you pronounce it, ignis fatuus.
Okay, I always want to put a uus in there.
Fatuous. That's
No, in the ignuous.
Oh, yeah.
Ignuous.
It means fool's fire.
Okay.
So I'm thinking ignis means fire in Latin. And I wonder if that's where the word ignite comes from.
Oh, that ignite, makes sense.
Right? The more you know. Mm. In the edit, can you add that song?
The
star?
Yeah,
the
song. I can do that. Mm-hmm.
These are naturally occurring births of flammable gas.
I'm going to put a sound clip right there, too.
So these are naturally occurring births of flammable gas that appear over bogs and marshlands, such as those in Ireland's countryside.
That reminds me of The Princess Bride.
I love that movie.
You know, when they're, like, going through, like...
I love that movie.
Yeah, that, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That, like, marshy,
yes, in the beginning
area, yeah.
Yeah, in the beginning, yeah. Producing flickering lights of gases from decomposing organic matter.
That was decomposing organic matter.
So, yeah, that's what happened. I'm not even... Okay, on to the next subject.
Okay.
Yes, I was cracking up when I was writing this part. The sudden appearance of flames of a variety of colors occasionally and suddenly flashing over the countryside encouraged all manner of folklore, as one might expect. When people observed these things, many no doubt thought it was truly Jack of the Lantern wandering the countryside.
Oh, uh-huh. I bet that looks cool.
Like, yeah, you know, when I started thinking about it, is that why swamps sometimes have that greenish glow? They say it happens only at night. Well, like, yeah. You can only see the flammable gas at night.
Uh-huh.
I guess, yeah, it makes sense. You couldn't see it in the day. But isn't that why, like, swamps sometimes have that greenish glow? Or am I just imagining that?
I just think, like...
Like in Swamp Thing.
Like fireflies. Like a little poof.
Oh, yeah. 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 So that's... where they think the folklore came from was that the naturally occurring phenomena mm-hmm. of decomposing
gases,
organic matter
creating gas,
flammable,
and people that saw that thought it was Jack of the Lanterns wandering
with his turnip.
Got it.
So now, let's talk about this turnip lantern Jack was carrying. So now, Rosa.
Yeah.
I have three things here called turnips. Can you describe for our listeners who might not know what a turnip is, can you describe what it looks like to you? Like, what is a turnip for okay. those? Because some people might not seriously know what a turnip is.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, at least in,
I don't know,
like, our area, they're not, like, real common consumed. I don't know. Like,
I don't think they
do
are.
Do you eat a lot of turnips?
You know what? Which is funny is I'm a big foodie, and I do not, it's not like I don't like them. I just don't cook with them, and I don't know why. I should. I'm going to. I'm going to make soup out of these things when we finish with them. But for those of people who don't know what a turnip is, can you describe it?
They're not beautiful.
What are you holding?
They're not pretty. They're not like...
They're not pretty. Mm-mm. Let's start with that.
Yeah. They're not like, you know, like...
Do they look scary?
They do. They're kind of like... They look almost shrivelly. And I know they're not. Like, that's... They're like a cross between a... Like a potato and a radish. Because they have that like mm-hmm. red and white kind of like... But it's not the pretty, like, red and white like a radish. It's mm-mm. kind of like an old, decomposing reddish, whitish, mm-hmm. and, like, a sickly white. And, you mm-hmm. know, like, it has all these, like, eyes on it, like potatoes. I don't know if they're called eyes
yeah.
on turnips.
I think turnips are root vegetables.
Yeah, they're a root crop, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And
how big are they?
Well.
How can you describe...
They're like a good fistful.
How big is your turnip?
This is like a good handful. I'd say
good
like a
handful.
Like a B size cup.
Like a B cup.
Yeah, I mean, they're good size.
Like a huge apple or something, wouldn't you
yeah.
say?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll put a picture. If you don't know what a turnip looks like, just Google it.
Okay. So, what is the connection between turnips and pumpkins?
Pumpkins are way more pretty than turnips. Way more
right?
pretty.
So that was my next question. I was going to ask you. I haven't gotten to it yet. Are you scared of a pumpkin?
No, I like... They make me happy.
Right?
Pumpkins are like...
They're all chubby.
When I start seeing them like growing on the hillsides...
They are chubby.
They're so fun.
Anything that's chubby is happy.
And the bright orange
color.
Orange is a happy color.
It's a happy ass color.
Not like a sickly purpley.
No, not like that. Not mm-mm. like the turnip. Okay. I agree. I totally agree. So, the connection between turnips and pumpkins. Do you know where pumpkin carving came from? And why pumpkins?
No clue. Tell me.
Well, in fact, it was the turnip that was originally carved out. The Irish and Scottish brought many traditions to America, including turnip carving. In my notes, 30% of Americans have Irish ancestry and 8% have Scottish ancestry. So that's 38% of the population. That's over a third of the population have ancestry in Irish and Scottish.
I'm Scottish, part Scottish.
Yeah, I am too. Yeah, I am too. So naturally, this was a popular tradition with so many people in America. Turnip carving was an Irish-Scottish tradition where turnips were hollowed out and faces cut out into the turnip, and candles were put inside, and the turnips were put out on the window sills to ward off foul spirits and bring good luck.
Carving a face in a turnip, like, remember how I was complaining about how hard it is to carve a pumpkin? I think carving a turnip would be even harder.
Oh my god, I watched a video of a chick and it must have taken her like 5 hours
to carve a turnip.
Yeah,
because you have to, it's solid, it's not hollow.
No,
it's, you have to, like,
it's not like coming, yeah, a pumpkin, it's,
I mean, it's a lot,
it's
of work.
Hollow in the middle,
yeah,
but it so makes, once you get in the middle, you can kind of,
you're good to go,
you're good to get up. However, when immigrants from Europe came to America, they found a plentiful amount of pumpkins. Yes. Pumpkins.
Do pumpkins not grow in Ireland?
No.
Okay.
I think they're native to America, not Europe.
Uh-huh.
So the carving out of pumpkins is an American tradition, not a European tradition.
Okay.
When you get to Samhain, when we talked about Samhain at the beginning of the
mm-hmm,
episode,
mm-hmm.
They probably didn't have pumpkins
as an option.
That was an American. That's what our version of Halloween is, okay, with pumpkins,
mm-hmm,
not theirs. Okay, so now let's talk about soul cakes.
Soul as in S-O-U-L or yep. S-O-L-E?
S-O-U-L.
Okay, like my soul.
Your soul. Geising or souling was a tradition where the poor and or children went from home to home.
You talked
about this.
Yeah, I remember now. Uh-huh, yeah.
In your in last year's episode.
Right.
Went from home to home asking the wealthy for coins, ale, and or food mm-hmm. during All Hallowtide, which is 31st of October through the 2nd of November. So during the same time that the earlier festivals of Samhain took place. So it's the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So All Hallowtide was overlapping
with All Hallows Samhain. Eve and
yeah.
All Saints Day.
So it's when the church came in and they were like, we're going to just overlap these
we're
festivals.
We're going to combine these. Yeah.
We're going to combine them all. Combine them religious. Basically is what they mm-hmm. did. Combine all the, yeah. A popular food item given to geysers or soulers, or known today as trick-or-treaters,
mm-hmm.
was soul cake. They didn't have Snickers, Skittles, Milky Ways, Blow Pops, etc. back then. So they made soul cakes.
Sure.
Soul cakes are small, spice-filled cookie-like cakes made with raisins, cinnamon, sugar, and some saffron. And some recipes included spices like rosemary, and they are marked with a cross on the top. Each soul cake was said to represent a spirit being freed from purgatory when eaten. Oh, and Sting. You know Sting from The Police?
Sure.
Wrote a song called Soul Cake.
Oh.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big...
And it's actually pretty good. I would have never put two and two together, but the song's called Soul Cake. Okay, last section. We're almost done. Fun facts. One, the term trick-or-treat. Do you want to know, take a guess when trick-or-treat...
Trick-or-treat, so, smell my feet, give me something good to eat.
When did that term come about?
No clue. None. Zero.
1930s.
Why?
In America.
Trick-or-treat.
So that's fairly new. Like, that's before World War II.
Well, I mean, but...
1930s.
How many people, like, actually give out tricks?
Mm-hmm. Like, and there's a whole nother thing on that, too. Like, trick-or-treating, like, how the evolution of what we see as trick-or-treating. But yeah, it was like a whole lot. Okay. Number two. The Halloween capital of the world is...
Salem.
Nope. Anoka. Where's Minnesota. That?
Minnesota.
Yeah. A city outside of Minneapolis with a capital, with a population of 17,000. Maybe we should do a Halloween girls trip there someday.
I would be all over that.
But number three was kind of my most interesting and probably my most fascinating thing I learned about.
Okay.
So do you know about the Salem witch trials?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, because witches are popular during Halloween.
Okay.
And I think I went to a Salem Witch Trial Museum in Boston. I think this whole thing happened in Massachusetts.
Well.
In one of the 13 colonies.
Salem.
Or near one of the 13 colonies. So the most interesting theory I found is what may have caused people to go mad.
Like who? The witches?
To think people were causing witchcraft on everyone. They think it was an outbreak of fungus on the rye wheat. This fungus has the same properties as LSD. Yes.
Okay. So they're like...
Like acid.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you're on LSD, you might go crazy and think someone is practicing witchcraft on you. And like, if you have spiders crawling all over your body, if you feel like you... You're on LSD, you start kind of going a little crazy and then thinking other people are... Like maybe the only things. Interpretation you have is that neighbor chick of mine is practicing witchcraft because that's the only interpretation you have of it.
Mm-hmm. Because you're not intentionally ingesting
something you're not intentionally ingesting something that's causing you to have hallucinations.
So all of a sudden you start hallucinating. And you see scary things.
Yes, very scary things. You have spiders crawling over your body. You have, like, you start seeing things. Mm-hmm. You, like, I mean, I don't know, but I thought that was really interesting. That
it was a fungus in the rye?
Fungus on the rye bread. Oh, the white rye wheat. So who knows? Maybe the fungus was on the soul cakes. So now we end with a... You have to do your part now.
My two truths and a lie.
Two truths and a lie.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to do last thought and a shot with two truths and a lie, and it's going to be about the Salem witch trials.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to read you three things, and you have to pick which one was the lie.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is no one was burned at the stake. The second one is the youngest accused witch was 6 years old.
Fuck, that's probably true.
And the third one was one of the tests to see if someone was a witch was having them bake a cake. Which one is the lie?
The last one.
The baking the cake?
Yeah.
You are... incorrect.
Oh!
So, the witch cake test is actually true.
Really?
So, if a witch made a cake with her urine...
The hell?
...and fed it to a dog, the dog would supposedly have adverse effects. So, yeah, these witch tests... Like, when you were telling your story, I talked about, like, the whole water and how even if you passed... The swimming, like, you survived being thrown in water, you were then automatically going to be killed because they made these tests impossible.
So impossible to pass.
So one of them is that witch cake test. The other one that was correct was the burning at the stake. Not one person was burned at the stake during the Salem witch trials. So there was, like, a whole bunch of people, obviously, accused.
Wait, what? I thought that was the whole thing. They were burned at the stake.
And that's myth.
Oh, really?
The one,
thank
I mean,
God.
Well, I mean, I don't know. There was lots of people burned at the stake, but not necessarily, like, witches, accused witches. The majority of the Salem witch trial victims were executed by hanging, and then there was one person that was executed by being crushed under rocks. So they put them, like, heavy rocks under them until they just were crushed. And then the one...
Lovely.
The other one that was a lie, so the one that you didn't get correct.
Okay.
The youngest witch being 6 years... A six. Person... Accused yep, of being a six-year-old.
That was one of them.
She was actually 4 years old.
The like, hell?
So the most of the people that were accused of being witches were, like, older people, like, even, like elderly grandma, grandpa's people. But this one little girl named Dorothy Good, she was 4 years old and the daughter of Sarah Good. She
oh,
was
like, Sarah Good.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to, I don't know if I mentioned it, and... I went to the Salem Witch Trial Museum,
mm-hmm.
and I have a friend whose last name is Good, and or did back mm-hmm. then. And I was like, "Oh, I wonder if they're related."
Probably.
You know?
Well, she was accused of being deranged and animalistic after consorting with the devil, and Dorothy confessed her supposed crimes to the authorities and claimed to have seen her mother with the devil. So Dorothy's confession allowed her to be released on bond after nearly 7 months in prison. Her mother was hanged during Dorothy's time in jail. So this little four-year-old girl, they said that your mama's a witch and you are too because you know, you're hanging out with mom. And the only reason that she was not put to death was because she said, yes, I did see my mom hanging out with the devil.
Wow.
She was 4 years old. And when she was in prison, she served 7 months in prison, is when they killed her mom.
Oh, my God.
Sickening, huh? Right?
Yes. So anyways, well, thank you for that.
Well, thanks for all those Halloween fun facts.
2,000 years later.
Until next week, don't forget to be a fountain.
And not a drain.
You did it!
Yay!